and studio.org, where you can listen to this show again or keep up to date with it at facebook.com/stage_studio. We've been listening to music by composer John Jang from his CD, Two Flowers on a Stem. Learn more about John Jang at jonjang.com for johnjang.com.
Stay tuned. D-May hosts a special Stage and Studio Extra with POV Dance about an unusual dance and multimedia installation performance in the historic landmark building Left Bank. First, we have a few messages.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirtbag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirtbag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on K-B-O-O
Portland.
Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
KBOO Community Radio and the North Portland Neighborhood Library is proud to sponsor the Jefferson High School 13th Annual Multicultural Film Festival. On January 14th, the documentary The House I Live In explores the risks that prohibition poses to freedom and the tragedy of addicts being treated as criminals. Meanwhile, the prisons of America are growing overcrowded with nonviolent criminals and illegal drugs are still being sold in schoolyards. This film is being shown on January 14th at the North Portland Neighborhood Library off of Killingsworth Street at 6 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. This is a special extended edition of Stage and Studio. We're listening to music right now by Katie Greiser and Luke Matter, who composed music for the upcoming performances of POV Dance. The company is presenting their original dance with video and music in the historic Left Bank Building. Joining me in the studio live right now is POV co-artistic directors Noel Plemons. Good morning. And Mandy Cregan, morning.
Good morning.
And with them is project designer and filmmaker Patrick Weissample.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. Welcome all to Stage and Studio. Good to have you here. Now, let's talk first about the music we're hearing. Let's bring it up a little bit more. Now, that music, what's happening with the dance at this point? It's kind of mellow, you know, before the intense stuff happens. What's going on?
This is the very beginning of the piece. We're all placed, there's three duets, and they're all placed throughout various places in the building. And the audience is just starting to take in what's going on. In a couple of places, they're seeing video, and then they're also seeing a couple of dancers start to move in the place. In another section, they're just seeing two dancers moving on their own. And I think what's happening here is we're just getting the audience acclimated to what they're about to witness, which is dancing with structure.
Well, in looking at your video, it seems that the video trailer that you did, and I assume, Patrick, you edited that and put that all together. This seems like a really inventive site-based dance, and that's what kind of attracted me to having you guys on the show. It's at a location at the Left Bank Building, but then, you know, you have all this other stuff happening with the soundscape and the video at the same time. What draws you to, you know, to do this kind of work? The title is 3x3, and it stands for what? For going to three different buildings in this site?
It stands for a few different things. So there are three different buildings that make up the Left Bank project. There are three different duets that are occurring and changing throughout the piece. Three different spaces where you see film. So
three different audiences.
Three different audiences. Yeah, so
three convergences of the three duets.
Exactly.
Well, what draws you to do this kind of site-based work? Because that's your mission, isn't it, of POV?
Yes.
Right. Mandy, do you want to talk on that? We met in San Francisco working for a company that does this work. And having moved to Portland coincidentally together around the same time, we just decided to carry that on. But Mandy, I mean, do you want to talk about this kind of work in general? I mean, and what Liz did?
Yeah, I mean, I think having moved here at the same time, Noel and I realized just how unique this work is and how important it was to both of us to continue to do it.
But why is that? I mean, let's get to the nitty gritty. You do not want to perform on a stage.
It's true.
You do not want to perform in a theater.
It's
you
true.
Want to perform in some place real and live. Why? What draws you to that?
I think because it's real. It
brings the audience really into the dance. So the dance gets... I think it's rare that the audience gets to actually participate in some way, even though they're voyeurs are watching the dance happen, but they're so close to the dancers. It's a rare opportunity for the audience members to be that close to that, to this art form.
Yeah. Does it get kind of interactive too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So the audience is following you guys around.
Yes.
So they'll follow you around at the Left Bank Building.
Correct.
Too,
yeah.
To different places. Because
yes.
I know the first dance you did was on a stairwell, right?
That was
one of the locations.
One of the first pieces that we did, yes, was in a stairwell. Yes, yes. The audience was watching above and below.
Okay. So you're going to get this kind of different and POV point of view.
Right.
You know, you're going to get these different points of view as people are following you around then.
Yes, yes.
So it does sound very exciting to me.
It's pretty fun.
But yeah, each audience member really gets their own view of what's going on depending on their perspective.
Yeah.
So they could be standing in a different area, they see something completely different than somebody else, and you know, the audience members are sort of moving around a little bit and seeing and able to catch those different perspectives and POV.
Yeah. Know, and I think I would also just add to that, to answer your question or to come back to what your question was, it's really fun. As a dancer, the first time I witnessed this kind of movement was in San Francisco. Mandy was dancing in that piece. I hadn't started with that company yet. And I had heard a lot of buzz about what Liz Roman did. And I went to see this show. And I was immediately just delighted with what these dancers were doing in a space that you just would never expect to see dance in. And then I was also like slightly like frustrated as an audience member because I was forced in these perspectives that at that time I was like, well, I want to see more. I want to see what she's doing when she goes out behind the door frame and I can't see her. But I was so excited about what I was witnessing that I just had to, I started taking classes with Liz Roman, and eventually I was able to get into the company. And it's just, as a dancer, it's so fun. And I think if the audience gets it and understands the force perspective, they're going to understand why it's beautiful.
Well, so this is in a big complex, the Left Bank Building. And that is, people will be following you around to different buildings within this complex.
Yes.
So how mobile do people need to be to be your audience member?
It depends on what audience they become a member of. So there is one audience where people do not have to be all that mobile. They can actually stay fairly stationary the entire time. They have that option of staying stationary or following if they want to follow.
So there are choices. Then.
There are choices.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good. Because I was wondering about space accessibility for people.
Right.
You know, mobility, accessibility.
So we do have an ADA audience.
Okay, so you've thought of everything. So you really are doing three different shows.
Well, one of the things that we should mention is we always seek funding from the Regional Arts and Culture Council, which we got this time. And one of their requirements is that if you're going to create a project, it has to be ADA compliant. Mm-hmm. And so we made sure that we already had that worked in when we applied for the funding. Mm-hmm. And thanks again, RAC, for that support.
Well, so I'd like to play a short bit of sound that was engineered by Philip Kraft, and I just wanted to hear it and for you to tell me what's going on. So what is that?
This is okay, so the last piece that you just played before this, that was right after this. So this is what gets us all going. This is what sort of like starts the section. And what we asked for, and I guess I should also say right off the bat, this isn't Philip Kraft, this is Katie Greiser.
Oh, this is still Katie, okay.
Yeah, Philip engineered the way the sound is gonna be put out through the building, and he worked with the two composers to sort of set up how sound would work. But Katie and Luke are the composers, and they made all the sound up.
Okay, all right.
And so that I asked Katie to give us some sort of ideas of what history in this building might have sounded like. You know, we had a garage, we had a bakery.
It almost sounded like a cash register at some point too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. It was an industrial building. There was a lot going on in this space.
Right, so it was like a factory sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And so we were kind of going for like, you know, what are the haunting sounds of this building? What are the ghosts in this building?
Some of the history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts with my guest Noel Plemons, Mandy Cregan, co-artist directors of POV Dance, and filmmaker Patrick Weissample of Blank Eye. So I actually wanted to play another piece of music, and I want to talk a little bit about the video too. So let's hear another piece by Katie Greiser and Luke Matter. Another moody piece. It seems like all the pieces I've heard so far are very moody, which gives you a lot of room to move around in. So how is the music and the video and the dance working together at this point?
So the video is going on while the dance is happening.
Is it continuously going on?
It's going, in some areas it's continuously going on, in other areas it's going on and then fading out and then coming back on again during moments when dancers are either leaving the space or audience members are moving.
And so what are some of the images that you've been working on?
So the images are derived from both slow motion footage that we gathered from separate shoots and GoPro footage that we took from the dancers themselves dancing in the space. And the GoPro footage we took was all done also in slow motion, so you have these really atmospheric movements of hands coming into frame, turns, and really seeing the perspective of the dancer interacting with the space and with the partnering.
So Patrick, you almost created this documentary with the dancers, and then you're projecting those mm-hmm. while the dance is going on.
Correct.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, it really transcends, I don't want to say traditional. Well, yeah, traditional dance where people are watching the dancers and you might have video projected in the background. But this is all intertwined in three different spaces, so it really is more of an installation. It's like an art installation.
Yes.
And with live movement.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And one of the things that that's happening with these videos is, so there's three audiences. They don't get to see everything that's going on throughout the rest of the building. So the video helps them to witness the highlights of the dances that are occurring in the space of the building that they're not actually watching dance in.
Yeah.
So that gives them a fuller perspective of what's happening throughout the building until they all come together at the end.
Well, we've talked about the how and what you're doing, but what is the theme? What is it about? Is there a larger mission beyond creating this experience?
No, I would say it's about creating the experience and about experiencing the creation of the experience.
I don't know. I mean, in listening to this music and hearing you describe, I think there's something more there. And I think there's a forlornness to it. Obviously I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen your movement. But I think there's something deeper than that.
I feel like it's almost, maybe tapping into the ethos of the building itself and into the architecture.
Almost the spirit, when you talk about the spirit of the building
Absolutely.
And the history.
Yes.
And the ghosts, perhaps,
exactly.
that might still be there.
Exactly, because, I mean, the movement is driven from the architecture itself, so you get the sort of what maybe the architects didn't even think about, but it...
The energy of the architecture.
Exactly,
yeah.
The energy of the architecture.
Absolutely.
So it really is based about this building, isn't it?
Yes.
What is the history of Left Bank?
Well, I guess at first there was just a garage on this lot. And then somewhere along the way, A.E. Doyle came along, and he's done all kinds of buildings in Portland. And Our last project just coincidentally was one of his buildings,
really?
The Ford building,
just
and we didn't even
crazy. And no connection.
No, we didn't
Not
even
that
know
we were
that
aware
we
of.
Didn't even know that the Left Bank had one of his buildings in it. But the Hazelwood was built, and that was a really gorgeous building built adjacent to this garage, but they weren't connected, and so he built this building, and it was a creamery, a bakery, and then it had. It had a restaurant on the bottom floor, which eventually turned into this really amazing jazz club that I guess some
really
famous musicians.
People, yeah.
I can't remember everybody.
Louis Armstrong was
there. I mean,
yeah.
There was some great.
Billie Holiday.
Do you remember the name of the jazz club?
Dude Ranch.
Dude Ranch. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
You know, that whole area, because this is in the North Williams area there. That whole area had a vibrant jazz scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it was known around the country.
Yeah, exactly.
As the place to go in Portland.
Right.
So you're kind of invoking some, because I noticed that in your credits you also have like a historical costumer or some I don't know, what is that? Are you gonna have ghosts coming on?
No, I mean we asked all of the artists to take the building's history into consideration, but don't go over
don't
the top
into reenact.
Yeah. And so you know. What Leanne incorporated in the costumes was probably very, very subtle historically. Mostly they're functional and they mm-hmm. accentuate the dancers' bodies. And that's mm-hmm. the most important thing for us. But I think that's what you hear a lot in the music. You know, this sort of like, there is a sort of a darkness in some of the music. And this building has gone through some darker days, and right now it's bright and sunny and awesome.
It's beautiful.
And
because there's a cafe, there's a couple of nonprofits there. Else is there in the Left Bank?
A lot of creative firms, an architecture, at least one architecture firm, some design studios.
Sockeye is
Portland
there.
Farmers
yeah.
Market.
Who is there?
Sockeye, a couple other production agencies.
So it's going through this resurgence then.
Yeah,
for sure.
And how did you get permission for this? I mean, I'm always fascinated by things that are installed. correlation based and how business cooperates with the arts with that. How did that happen?
Well, the owner of the building, Daniel Deutsch, is a fan of dance, and he was, I mean, he really just opened the space to us and gave us free range to create what we wanted to create, which is just absolutely incredible. So, yeah.
We were a little surprised at how quickly and easily he accepted us into the building and let us do what we want to do there.
Yeah.
And we can't thank the Left Bank Project and Daniel enough for that.
That's... Was that based on your prior work then and your prior performances?
I don't know.
It was like magic.
We met with him and it was truly magical. He just, you know, he said, "This sounds amazing. I love dancing."
You know, that doesn't happen very often.
No,
I just have to tell you that.
It's pretty amazing. He is amazing.
So how did you all collaborate together? You've been collaborating together for a while now?
Well, Mandy and I have. We've never done a project with Patrick before.
I've always wanted to do a project with Noel. We're partners, and we've been wanting to do something together. And we actually met on a dance film together that I was shooting another company he was involved with. I came back from a trip, and I was like, I want to put cameras on the dancers.
So they're actually wearing the GoPro video then and dancing around with it?
They won't have the cameras on them during the
performance.
No, but
when you film them? You film them moving around from their perspective?
Yes, yeah. It's actually placed right over their heart.
Awesome.
Oh,
how interesting. So how did you work? Did the video come first? Did the dance come first? Did the music come first? What's your process?
Generally, the dance comes first. I mean, always the dance comes first. And the dance is being created for a long while before anything else happens. But once the dance began to be created, then Patrick started filming and
we had to have costumes first, so
right.
so
you could film
exactly.
So that those images are...
So you really were collaborating like every single step of the way then.
Yeah,
it sounds like, because you know there isn't, oh, here's a piece of music and I'm going to create its dance and then you're going to film it. That
no,
wasn't the
not
process.
At all. It's okay. Very interwoven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's unusual in of itself too.
Yeah.
So I also was wondering, Patrick, about Blank Eye. Now, mm-hmm. What type of projects do you focus on with Blank Eye? That's your production company.
Yeah. Well, I focus on a variety of projects from art installation work to some commercial work. And
you're a photographer, too.
Photography,
I saw some great photos
and
on your site.
I work with Portland Center Stage with their videos and photography. And then I've also been working with Sky Fitzgerald on... I worked on Finding Face, the feature-length film, and also our upcoming film, Oregon Divide.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So what's in store for POV after this? After you're done with this? Because do you generally one a year, then, one production?
Well, we actually took a long break after
our
last...
We've taken a long hiatus.
Yeah, after our last project. I was working with a company called Teeth for a few years, and that was a really taxing schedule. So that kept me busy, and now we've just gotten to a point where we're like, well, let's do some POV work again, finally. Mm-hmm. And I think that we'd like to aim for doing something maybe like once a year, once every 2 years.
Yeah, because it must take a lot to coordinate this. How long have you been working on this? What's your timeline?
Well, we started rehearsals in September. Is that correct? In August.
The first thing is always finding the space. You know, you got to find a space where they're willing to put up with you. And then once you've got that, then you can, you know, plan a schedule for the dancers and really get things going. But this is a short process. We actually ran our last process was almost 8 to 9 months. This one we're doing it all in 5. So that's a big pickup for us, and we've really had a push. But it's been worth it because one of our dancers that we really wanted to work with, he has to go back to Princeton in the end of January.
Like right after the show finishes.
He's the main reason
no
why we...
No extension for you.
No.
I don't think people realize that, you know, something that can only run for 2 weeks actually took 5 months of preparation
for it.
You know? I mean, that's a long time to invest in 2 weeks of performance.
Well, it is 3 weeks.
Oh, 3 weeks,
yeah.
But still.
But
yeah.
Still, it's a long time for a short run.
Yeah.
So I guess... you know, in advising perhaps other people who might want to do something like this, what's your advice to them?
No.
Oh boy. Make sure you have plenty of time.
Time management.
I
think that's true for anything. It's a time management is always the biggest issue, isn't it?
For sure.
POV Dance presents 3x3. The show opens January 9th and runs through January 26th. Show times are 8 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 6 p.m. on Sundays. All shows are at the Left Bank Project. That's located at 240 North Broadway Street in Portland. And for more info, you can visit their site at povdance.org, or you can get tickets 1 hour before the show at the door. Noel Plemons and Mandy Cregan and Patrick Weissample, what a pleasure to talk with you. And
thank you.
I'm
thank
looking
you.
Forward
so
to your work. I mean, it just sounds very exciting. So have a great weekend with 3x3.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we have a pair of tickets for opening weekend for the third caller here at KBOO. Oh, yes, don't call now. Here's the number. 503-231-8032, 231-8032 for the opening weekend of 3x3 at POV. So we'll take the third caller. That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org. You can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on the facebook.com/stage_n_studio or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music by Katie Greiser and Luke Matter from POV Dance's 3x3.
KBOO Community Radio and the North Portland Neighborhood Library is proud to sponsor the Jefferson High School 13th Annual Multicultural Film Festival. On January 14th, the documentary The House I Live In explores the risks that prohibition poses to freedom and the tragedy of addicts being treated as criminals. Meanwhile, the prisons of America are growing overcrowded with nonviolent criminals and illegal drugs are still being sold in schoolyards. This film is being shown on January 14th at the North Portland Neighborhood Library off of Killingsworth Street at 6 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tuesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, KBOO brings you the Anjali and the Kid Show with DJ Anjali and Incredible Kid. Post-national bass, folk, and urban sounds that'll knock you upside the head.
It's Anjali and the Kid every Tuesday night on KBOO.